We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello, Chicago, for you this afternoon. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. All right, the reason I'm playing that instead of the usual second hour open music, we have tickets to give away, actually a couple of shows this week. They're coming to the Fabulous Fox Sunday, June 30th, and tickets are on sale right now at MetroTix.com. It's all from the Bomberito box office. If your caller number, Dave, how many you want to answer there? He said 33. That was his, no. He did not say 33. I'm going to get in trouble here with Dave. We'll do call number three. We'll just take 1-3 away. Call number three on the contest line only. Nobody listens to that. They always call the 436 number. Don't do it. You're not going to win. Is this going to frustrate you? 531-1120. And I do have some tickets to give away. I'm tell you what, I'm kind of fascinated with this. I really, really am, because they're doing a Roy Orbison Buddy Holly hologram show at Stiefel Wednesday, October 23rd. I'm still kind of curious to see how this is going to all work, but I have tickets to give away this week, every day this week. I was at the, how many people have been to the Iron Barley before? Dave, you ever go to the Iron Barley since they moved, though, into High Ridge? So the Iron Barley used to be on, what was that? Was it Bates or right by Bates and 55? I can't remember exactly the street there. Really, really great food. And, they, you know, they've been featured on cooking shows and things along those lines, and they moved out. You know, they kind of closed up shop in the city. They didn't have a big location. It was always kind of hard to get in there. And how would I describe this? My mom and dad love this place. It's almost like some of it's comfort food, but really good comfort food. I mean, it's a bar and a barbecue place, but the food is amazing. And there was a guy doing music there last week, and I was actually seated. I always appreciate this because, you know, I like a little music when you're eating, but you also want to have conversations. So the guy that was playing was doing some Roy Orbison and things like that and did a great job. Anyway, thought I'd toss that in. All right. You know, we did on Overtime, let me get to a couple of random things here. We did this story on Overtime because apparently Taylor Swift has a new song and it's all about LGBTQ equality and things like that, which I don't care what you want to do in your personal life. I really don't care. But here's where it gets interesting, because she is, I guess, campaigning now for this thing called the LGBTQ plus equality plan. It's a bill that is in Congress right now, and it would do a bunch of things when it comes to making, I guess, everything more equal. How it would do that, I don't know, except for this. It would, and this is where I would take issue with it, and I think a lot of people, maybe even people on the left, might take issue with it. One of the things that this bill would do, it would force public schools to expand female athletic teams to include boys who have penises. There's really no other way to describe that. To include biological males who identify as transgender girls. Boys who have penises who now say that they're girls. And if that's what someone wants to do, and I'm not saying it's a choice, whatever is going on there, that's fine. But you just had a situation where somebody won a track event, and this has happened several times, competing, used to compete as a man, now competing as a woman, blew away the competition. I don't have all that right in front of me, but we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it wasn't even marginal. And you know that when you have track events, and you're going to see this at the Olympics later this year, these are races that are decided by 1/100th of a second. And I think there was like a two-second differential in some of the races. But Beto O'Rourke now says that he has a plan on LGBTQ issues, including forcing schools to include male athletes who identify as transgender girls. So he wants to pass the Equality Act, which would amend the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to make sexual orientation and gender identity protected characteristics under federal anti-discrimination law. And that sounds great until you start thinking about the nuances here. I guarantee you, you go out and you poll people about this, this is where there's going to be a disconnect. I think are there bigoted people in this country? Yes. Are there people who aren't bigoted, who have friends who are gay? In fact, I would say that you poll people who are gay on this, and I think you might be surprised. Okay, are you gay? Yes, I am. All right, not me. I'm just saying, you answer the question that way. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You answer the question that way, and then they say, do you think that, I feel like I have to play this.
We're not gay! Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I am not gay! I'm not gay. I'm not gay.
Are you gay?
What?
It's just a question.
Are you propositioning me?
No.
Well, I can tell you that I am 100% not gay.
Mr. Garrison, I think that Mr. Hat was actually your gay side trying to come out. You see, it's you that's gay, but you're in denial, so you act out your gay persona with a homosexual puppet.
It's fun for me to play these sound bites that I've been here for years. Remember Larry Craig, who had the wide stance?
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
So my point is, if you ask common sense people whether they're gay or not, if they think that we should have federal law that forces schools in this country to allow boys with penises to compete with girls who do not have penises on athletic teams, I'm pretty confident a fair amount of even gay people would flag that as being unfair. I'll go on a limb there and say that. Because oftentimes everything that you hear in the media, seemingly everyone's on the same page with it, and it's not the case. I promise you it's not the case. So when Taylor Swift comes out, we did this on Overtime this morning, and I wish I would have known a little bit more about the law, which is the LGBTQ plus Equality Act, because that's what she's focusing in on. Someone should ask Taylor Swift, do you really think this is true? And she'd probably say yes. Someone should ask the Democratic presidential candidates, do you think this is all right? Well, they'll say yes, because they don't want to offend. It's all about the identity politics. You can't offend anyone. But what they forget, and this is going to be on full display here tonight in Orlando with President Trump. And most of you know my feelings on the president's behavior, which I don't like, and I didn't vote for him. And I don't like what he says about people and how he mocks disabled reporters and all these things. However, I think that some of the things he said in the past have lacked context. And I also think that this is kind of a no-brainer. You want to compare and contrast someone like Trump, where people in middle America here in Missouri and Illinois, outside of Cook County, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, common sense working people who are going to be asked the question and hear Democrat identity politics presidential candidates talk about giving the rights to transgender boys so they can compete, or transgender girls, however you want to refer to it, so they can compete with girls even though they still have penises. I'm just going to say that that's probably not a winning issue. And it's not bigoted to hold the position that that is patently unfair. Here's another non-winning issue. We're going to raise your taxes. Why don't they just say it that way? Why is Joe Biden saying the first thing that I will do is repeal the Trump tax cuts? If reporters were fair, if CNN, The Washington Post, New York Times, if they were fair, they would ask the question this way. Mr. Vice President, why don't you just say I will raise taxes on everyone in this country?
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
Hey, we have an audio cut of the day before the end of the hour. Right into Total Information, PM John Rooney is going to join me an hour from now at 4:20. The Cardinals off to a great start in the homestand, winning last night. Joan Neeson is going to come up at 3:35. She is a St. Louis native, wrote a great piece on the Blues Stanley Cup parade, saying it felt like redemption. And I think it did. So Joan's going to join us here at the bottom of the hour and share her stories from that parade and just being a St. Louis Blues fan. It's 3:20, big rally tonight. President Trump officially kicking off his 2020 reelection campaign. Oh, Dave, there's going to be some sound bites tomorrow. I promise you. Tomorrow's show's taken care of. I can take the night off. Anyway, Cassie Smedley is the Deputy Communications Director for the RNC. She joins us this afternoon. Cassie, how are you?
I'm great. It's great to be with you.
I'm, you know, glad that you're on. And then I also want to mention that we were chatting a little bit before the interview, and you have a Missouri connection, don't you? You're from Kansas City.
That's right. I always say a Kansas City gal with a D.C. address. So I've been taken for work reasons to D.C., but my heart is always back in KCMO. And so it's always fun to, I feel closer to home when I get to talk to fellow Missourians.
Yeah, inside the swamp, Kansas City, Missouri, a little different, right?
Yeah, that's right. Blessedly so. So it's important. I never need an excuse to go home. I'm always like, get me out of here. Happily ready to go home at all times.
Well, let's talk about the reelection campaign. And I'm going to lead here with the Orlando Sentinel in the editorial, because this is where this rally is going to take place. And, you know, I think I would fall in the camp that says, wait a second, how can you endorse someone before you even know who the candidate on the other side is going to be? But they said this, because there's no point pretending we would ever recommend that readers vote for Trump because of the chaos, the division, the schoolyard insults, the self-aggrandizement, the corruption, and especially the lies. So how does the RNC respond to that?
Well, not only we had an op-ed from the chairwoman in the Orlando Sentinel today, so I'm not sure how it fared in the print version if they were side by side, but countering all of that without even knowing we were countering it, of all of the accomplishments, all of the good. And I think it's interesting, to your point, interesting that a paper would put an editorial out like that so far in advance of an election. But how counter to where their readership is? And how often do we see that with papers, unfortunately, too? But today, with this event in Orlando, 40 hours before the event was to start, you had people starting to line up. Now you've already got thousands of people there. We've had over 100,000 RSVPs for a venue that holds about 20,000 people. So they've got this 45 fest happening outside with live music and people just, I was just talking to my coworkers there. She's like, it feels like a music festival and everyone's having a great time and we're just waiting for the main stage event tonight. But there is an enthusiasm and people are spending their days, their precious vacation days, to go and wait outside and be a part of this movement. And that's what I think the Orlando Sentinel and so many others, just like they missed in 2016, are here again missing this cycle as well.
Yeah, let me play some audio here, because these are the folks who have lined up.
Everybody's happy they're going to see Trump. We're like the first 100 in line or better.
I used to wait in line like this and hitchhike to Grateful Dead. That's what it reminds me of.
He's doing the right thing because he's looking out for the country. He's not looking out for the bureaucrats. He's looking out for us common people that work every day and have to pay the taxes and support all the people that are living off the taxes. And he's looking out for us.
We live in Cape Cod.
Why'd you come all the way down here for this?
Because we're Trumpsters. We love President Trump.
The swamp needs to be drained. Yes, absolutely. I think Mitch McConnell and a whole bunch of them are just covering their butts.
Well, what's interesting, Cassie, about that one is that, you know, the president's trying to work with Mitch McConnell, but the enthusiasm is certainly there. And, you know, the one thing that I hear from Trump supporters, and I'll be honest with you, and my listeners know this, I'm not a fan of the schoolyard antics and things like that. But I'm reminded all the time by folks who voted for him in 2016 is they didn't want someone who was going to always say the things that they're supposed to, and they were not electing a politician. So I think a lot of that still holds. And then you have the tailwinds of the economy, and things are shaping up pretty well for the president in reelection. However, this is where we get to the polls, and he doesn't seem to either agree with them or he doesn't think that the polls are accurate, because if the election were held today, you're showing some pretty big problems for the president in some of those states that matter, aren't you?
Well, the last time those polls went on election day in 2016, they were incorrect. So we're careful to put stock in polls 500 days out, certainly as just like the Orlando Sentinel. I mean, these Democrats haven't even been on a debate stage yet, let alone been side by side with President Trump. But to that point, and to the enthusiasm, what we saw in 2016, people were coming to these rallies from all over the place, and we had no idea who they were. They were folks who, many of them had never voted before, certainly hadn't ever been involved with volunteering or being engaged with a campaign. And now what we're seeing is not only are they back and at the rallies again, but they're registered to vote. They're registering their friends and neighbors to vote. Many of them are part of our volunteer core team. Some of them are now on our staff. And they're doing it because they believe in the results of this administration and this president. You know, so often what President Trump did in 2016 is he made promises and he said, give me a chance because all these other politicians have failed you. And now, 2.5 years later, a big theme we're going to hear tonight, and I'm sure for the next 500 or so days, is promises made, promises kept. That means something that's tangible in our lives. We see that things are going better. We feel better about things. We have more money in our pocket, more jobs in our communities. And that's something that no one on the other side can compete with. When President Trump's answer to the American people has been, let me put you in charge of your lives. Let me get rid of this bureaucracy to give you more freedom to do what you feel is best for you and your family. And look at the results, from the economy to national security to, again, just an enthusiasm throughout our country. And then you've got literally every single Democrat in the race whose only proposals are how to go backwards, how to say, let me take more money from you. Let me put more government into your life. Well, I mean, Joe Biden just yesterday
said the first thing he would do is raise taxes. I was going to bring this up because he says the first thing I would do as president is eliminate the president's tax cut would be an instant $2,000 tax increase on a family earning the medium income. Single parents, that'd be $1,300 more. It's amazing to me, not only that they think that they want to campaign on this, but that people aren't going to realize that they're taking money from them. Just baffling.
Right. And it is, the Democrats would like to tell you, oh, you didn't really feel that tax cut. Excuse me. Tell that to a person who not only got the tax cut, but their employer did a 401k match or gave them a raise in their paycheck. Or tell that to the person who's been out of work and looking for a couple of years, who now has a plethora of options at his or her disposal. In fact, there are more jobs available in this country than there are people to fill them. And that's not in just one isolated area. That's across the board. And wages have gone up. That is a metric Democrats love to tout. Well, you might have a job, but it's not a good paying job. Well, under Barack Obama, not only did you not have a job, but probably the one you had wasn't getting the job done. And now, under President Trump, you've seen wages go up month over month over month. That is a president who's working for the people. And that's a record that I know he's very happy to run on. And what's interesting is whoever the Dems can get to run against him, whoever ends up at the final point and across opposite President Trump on the debate stage, he's just going to go out there and he's going to talk about his record of accomplishment and success. And they're going to go out there and say, why don't you get more government control in your life? I mean, there's no comparison. But my point is that he doesn't care who it is, because they're all preaching the same thing. And for whatever reason, none of them want to give Americans or continue to give Americans control of their lives. So I think President Trump has a lot of great things to tout. I think he's going to have a lot of fun doing it. And from what we see just today, but we see it every single day and it's growing every day, is that there is enthusiasm for that from people across America and places where you and I come from that Democrats still can't seem to figure out how to get to.
Yeah, and my advice, which will not be taken, and I don't know if you can, you know, yeah, just mention if you run into the president. I want to focus on the economy. I wish you would only talk about the economy and the other accomplishments and not some of this other stuff, because I think that really does distract people. And if you want to focus on the reality of how people are challenged every day with their life and paying their bills and raising their kids, then you got to focus on those accomplishments. But look, Cassie, great to have you on here. Always nice to have another Missouri swamp creature on the air. So that's appreciated. Cassie Smedley, RNC Deputy Communications Director. And tell Kaylee we said hey.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
I was, you know, obviously only half joking about the situation with tonight and the sound bites, because I think you're going to probably have a lot of that. And let me, you know, it's interesting. You go behind the scenes here and you talk about how the Democrats are sort of nipping at each other's heels. Like, this is Elizabeth Warren Liawatha talking about Joe Biden. That's who she's focusing on here.
I've been to a lot of places around this country. I've taken more than 2,000 unfiltered questions from folks. Shoot, I'm over 30,000 selfies now. Yeah, so I'm in this. But here's the deal. Ask yourself why I've got the time to do that and most other candidates don't. And the reason is because I'm not spending my time behind closed doors with a bunch of millionaires.
Yeah, she doesn't want to win, apparently, because you got to raise money. Here's David Gergen on CNN talking about that.
Because she has been so articulate with a set of ideas that she's been developing over the years. And she's, you know, she's been in classrooms and knows how to make things fairly straightforward and easy to grasp. That gives her an advantage, and she's getting some energy out of that. She's getting, her troops are more energized than our Biden's, but Biden's are larger. He's got a bigger group. He's a safer candidate. You know, people think he can beat Trump. They're obviously less certain Elizabeth Warren can beat Trump. So we're getting to some interesting places in this race.
John, my friend John Ziegler, who is a radio talk show host in and of his own right, wrote a great column about this, and I think he's, you know, it's not like he's fallen down on the side that nobody else is, but he basically says, look, the Democrats are going to have an big decision to make. Do they want to go with someone who's a safer choice who can win, or with a so-called progressive who likely will lose? It's 3:30 at the Voice of St. Louis. Carol has the top stories of the day in the afternoon. Then we're going to talk with Joan Eason from Sports Illustrated. Great Stanley Cup piece that she wrote. She's a St. Louis native. That's coming up next.
Get ready for the Cards and Marlins tonight. Ameren Total Access, 6:20. First pitch, 7:15. Hear it here on your Voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Oh, you thought that you weren't going to hear it again, but you're wrong. This is the first time I've played it today, though, and it's the Oakville Band version. Dave, who was it that jumped? You weren't here, but who was it that jumped into the band and just in the middle of it? Was it? That was Bennington, yeah. I mean, just crazy. Crazy memories, and this column was brought to my attention by Joan Neeson, who is a St. Louis native and went to that parade, and she's a blues fan, and she was overcome with emotion. Joan, how are you? Welcome to KMOX.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, we're still, I think, in the moment here. You know, I was thinking about this morning. Tomorrow already has been a week since we won the Cup, and it's been the fastest week, I think, of the entire year for obvious reasons.
Yeah, it's crazy. It does not seem like it was a week or 6 days ago at this point, I guess. It seems like it was maybe 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
Well, that's because the celebration has certainly continued. You recount everything in this from your perspective, you know, the celebration. You went to, I guess, O.B. Clark's, you know, the word got out on, was that Friday or was it Thursday? It might have even been Thursday, right after they won.
I think it was Thursday.
Yeah.
I did not go to O.B. Clark's, just kind of watched that on social media. But yeah, those guys were partying from the start.
Yeah, and that continued, and we talked about the parade quite a bit yesterday, and there obviously there were some concerns about the amount of alcohol that was being, you know, consumed by the players. My position on that is this. Look, I think you get passes for certain things, and this would be one that I give players a pass on. But tell me about your experience. And one of the things that you said here in your piece that I thought was interesting is you felt like this was redemption. Explain why it was redemption.
It just felt like it was St. Louis's, you know, first great sports moment since the headlines about the Rams leaving and the words that, you know, Stan Kroenke put out there about, you know, this city and what kind of sports town it is. And, you know, I think it was really painted as a baseball town, a town that could support one team. And I think this really proved that wrong. And so I think for a lot of people here that I've talked to, it just seemed like this was kind of the first statement that we're not how we were painted back in 2016.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's gone by quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, and it's not just that. You know, I think you know it's Ferguson. It's everything that's happened since then. It's the crime, and we needed this win for the region. We really did, and thankfully, it happened. Now, you wrote something that piqued my interest. You said, I try to see this team through the eyes of a St. Louis, and you were talking about driving from Chicago, blasting glory, and you said, I try to see this team through the eyes of a St. Louis and something I still claim to be, but worry I'm not. Why did you say that?
You know, I think I haven't lived here since I was 18, since I went to college. That was in 2006. And I love St. Louis. My parents are, you know, still here. I'm in St. Louis this week, actually, just hanging out. And but I think that when you don't live somewhere as an adult, you can see it through rose-colored glasses sometimes.
Sure.
And that's not to say that I don't think St. Louis is great. I just sometimes, you know, wonder what my perspective would be if I were to move back here as an adult, which I, you know, probably will someday. I view the city a little differently than even, say, my parents who've lived here their entire adult lives and have, you know, gone through it with the city.
Yeah, and I can understand that. Look, I think that even folks who have lived here for a long time, I think we do have a self-esteem problem here for obvious reasons, and I think there's a fatalistic view. I'm sort of a fatalist to begin with, but we think that maybe good things can't happen because we've experienced heartbreak in the past or just really bad stories and negative coverage. Now, Cardinals aside, in 2011 was magical, and 26, and I go back to 1982 with my first parade. But yeah, there's been a lot of issues, and that's the thing about this that's so unique, and you saw this at the parade, and the way that it brought not only the fans together, the current team together, the alumni together, the I guess even our elected officials together. Boy, that's not happening in this country very much, is it?
Exactly. No, and that was really cool to see at the parade. And you mentioned earlier kind of the alcohol consumption, and obviously the players were having a good time. But one thing that struck me about the parade was just the fact that it was all kinds. It was young people, old people, babies. And, of course, there was alcohol being consumed by the crowd, but it wasn't this, like, raucous drunk fest that I think some parades can be. It seemed seems like something a little more than that.
Well, I think it was. What were your favorite? You said you were posted kind of down where my broadcast location was down near, well, we were right at 13th and Market, so not too far from where the start was. And, you know, we became confused at certain points. Like, we're looking up on, in fact, there was a friend of mine, Trey Hogan, who was driving Pat Maroon. And I saw Trey at first, and then I look on the back of the truck and I see Pat Maroon, except it wasn't Pat Maroon, it was his brother, who still had a beard, because Pat Maroon looked almost unrecognizable on Saturday. But he, like a lot of the other players, jumped out of the truck and he's high-fiving fans and having a great time.
Yeah, it was a little confusing in moments, especially for the first few guys who left their truck or their car. I was standing with my best friend and we were like, well, where's Petrangelo? He's not here. Is he sick? And then we just realized he'd been in the street. We hadn't been able to see him because we're both 5'4" and can't see that much.
Right. Yeah, well, there were, you know, I think that was one of the challenges for people who were 10 deep in that line, too. But look, it was a great celebration, Joan, and I don't know, you know, how it can get better from here. I always just already start, because I'm a fatalist, start, you know, fast-forwarding to the, well, this can't happen again, right? We're not going to repeat. We're not going to do this for another 50 years, just the way that I am. Hopefully that's not true.
Hopefully not, but even if it is, I mean, it doesn't get much sweeter than that, and I'm really glad that I was able to see it, you know, be here for all the celebrations and some of the games as well.
So did you hang out then after the parade, and did you go down to the rally because you were on the other side of the market?
I did not go down to the rally end. I just figured, you know, with the numbers of people, I ended up hopping on the Metrolink at 8th and Pine and taking it back to the Central West End and sitting in a bar and watching the rally on TV.
I like that in the latter part of your column you said, because it goes to some of my points earlier about Ferguson and everything else, you said the hometown I love so much has had a rough go of it over the course of my 31 years. Some of its problems are too politically charged to warrant mention in an essay that's really about men slinging little discs into netting. I did like that line quite a bit. Joan Neeson, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, and we only played Gloria once there, which is pretty good. I thought maybe I was going to have to do it again. 3:43 at KMOX. There were a couple other things. Man, I got a great story that I want to share here. And once again, I did not allow myself enough time to do the story. And I'm going to hold it back for tomorrow. It's about these teenagers who plotted to kill another teenager. And it is a bizarre story. It happened in Anchorage, Alaska, and it was in the Washington Post over the weekend. So I'm going to save that one. Here's something that I did pick up on the last couple of days. And I have never had this experience because my daughter's only 4 years old. But here's the headline. This will tell you something right here. People have too much time on their hands. Dave, did you see this one? The glaring problem with father-daughter dances. Didn't know. There are many traditions built around the father-daughter relationship, but millennial dads don't need an excuse to hang out with their daughters. And the person who writes this, Carolyn Kitchener, whoever she is, I'm not even sure which publication this is. I printed it out just because I thought it was so ridiculous. Oh, this is another Washington Post thing. So I think they have something that's called The Lily, which is part of the Washington Post, and it's a blog or something like that. But maybe it's just because she's got to come up with a column every week. I know how that, you know, struggle is. You got to come up with material. But she goes into this big, long diatribe about how that's some sort of forced issue that's no longer necessary because women's roles are not as traditional as they were in the past, and that the whole goal of the, you know, father-daughter dances was to make sure that, you know, the father had a role in raising those daughters as well. Look, can it just be sort of fun and something special that dads and daughters do instead of ripping on something that's pretty simple? That's the problem that we have right now. We have to criticize everything that happens in this country. If it just borders on political incorrectness, if it doesn't have enough diversity, if it doesn't have enough minority representation, we got to fix that right away. If you're not flying the LGBTQ flag, you know, at military bases around the world, that's, you hate gay people. That's the automatic assumption. Can't have father-daughter dances anymore. Everything is on the table, apparently. We'll check traffic with Roger. Then our audio cut of the day this afternoon on KMOX is up next.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX.
John Rooney coming up 4:20 this afternoon. Talk a little Cardinals baseball. Good start last night in the series with Florida. Or what do we have to call them? Miami now, right? I still call them Florida. I guess officially that is inaccurate. So that would be, this is where I'm out of practice here on my my sound effects. That would be what we call...
You are fake news.
That's exactly right. Anyway, Rooney's coming up in the next hour. I got a couple of qualifying sound bites for Cut of the Day. Didn't quite make the cut that I want to get in here, including our friend AOC, who said this about Amazon.
His being a billionaire...
Well, let me talk. He's Jeff Bezos, Amazon. So she's targeting Bezos.
If his being a billionaire is predicated on paying people starvation wages and stripping them of their ability to access healthcare, and also if his ability to be a billionaire is predicated on the fact that his workers take food stamps, so I'm paying for him to be a billionaire.
And do you think that's why he's a billionaire? Because he pays his workers starvation wages? And
I think it's certainly a part of the equation when you have a very large workforce and you underpay every single person.
Yeah, well, see, here's the deal, AOC. She is such, let me say this, how can I say this nicely? She is such an idiot. It's not even funny. Will she be challenged ever by anyone? I mean, that was certainly the response should have been. You know, Amazon pays $15 an hour and you want, well, I guess she probably wants $20 an hour in New York City, but full benefits the first day on the job. And they've even been involved in efforts to raise the minimum wage. So they pay over the minimum wage right now. She'll never be challenged on the stupid, inflammatory things that she wants to say. Look, the president says stupid things all the time. He says inflammatory things all the time. They're always pointed out. Kid gloves with AOC. You don't want to hurt her feelings or any of the other, you know, lefties out there in the snowflakes.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Sponsored by the Good Feet Store Pain Relief and Comfort to Fit Any Budget. Off politics, because I thought that was pretty funny. Actor and director Dax Shepard, who is married to Kristen Bell, who spent a little bit of time in St. Louis when her father was the assistant news director at Channel 4, was on Colbert last night, and he was telling the story to his kids, and when the kids finally realized he was famous, they had an interesting reaction.
I think initially they started listening because they knew me and not Monica. Why did they know you? I go, because I'm famous. And she goes, you're famous? And I was like, I go, yeah, hon. Like, you know, I'm on TV and that's why people take pictures of us. And she's like, does mom know? And I go, honey, mom's more famous than dad. And she goes, mom's famous too?
You know, I think sometimes you forget the kids don't really care what you do. My kids never really cared at all that I was on the radio. My daughter, I still think, is confused. She listens to the, you know, the newscast in the morning when I have KMOX tuned in. She'll hear my promo or somebody talking about me, and she doesn't really understand it. But she does love the Alexa promo that we're running because her name is Alexa. So I just thought that one was fun. Got us off politics. Dax Shepard on Colbert. That's your audio cut of the day. Total Information PM is coming up next on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.